And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello there, welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Everton lost 2-0 to Manchester United on New Year's Day at a cold and wet Goodison Park. Everton barely posed a threat apart from an Umar Nias header off target, and United wrapped up the win. Everton have now ground out grim goalless draws against Chelsea and West Brom, while they were spared defeat in the Merseyside derby at Liverpool by Rooney's late penalty. Allardyce has addressed some defensive weaknesses with his customary zeal, but Everton will continue to struggle to score goals until he can bring in a striker to offer a serious threat. Allardyce said after, if you give the ball back to a team like Manchester United, then they will punish you. For the first goal, we just backed off and backed off and backed off. We needed to put pressure on Manchester United, and we didn't. This was Manchester United's 35th. Premier League win against Everton. That is more than any other team against any other opponent in the league. Jose Mourinho has lost none of his 12 Premier League meetings with Sam Allardyce. That's won 9, drawn 3, and lost 0. Now, the manager he's faced the most in the competition without losing is now Sam Allardyce. And this is the third time this season that Everton have failed to fire a shot on target in the Premier League, which is depressing too. And two of those games have come in the last 4. That's Chelsea and Manchester United. To join me to look back on the fixture on New Year's Day is Groucho, as always. Obviously, we're a little bit late doing this podcast. I've had quite a bit going on this week, so apologies for that. But Groucho, how are you, mate? Most importantly, how are you doing?
Not so bad. Better now that Christmas is well and truly gone.
Yes.
All fine.
Are you back on that, like, the healthy eating or not now?
No, I haven't done that for about 5 years. No.
You stopped definitely, like 5 Christmases ago and then you just haven't
bothered. Yeah. I forgot to start again, so it's been fine.
Yeah, I did that thing this morning where I was like, right, I'm going to go back to the gym and do some exercise, you know, run around a little bit and lift heavy things and stuff, you know, and it was pathetic. I got there and I was like, right, I couldn't be arsed. I went for a walk on the treadmill. That's all I did. And then I walked around a little bit and I just thought, I just really can't be arsed. So I'm not quite out of the festive mindset yet. I think a win against Manchester United on New Year's Day though would have most definitely have helped there to give us a little boost. It didn't happen though. It was so cold and rainy and horrible. What did you make, first of all, on with regards to like the lineup and that rotation again that we saw? Did you think that was ultimately detrimental, Grouch?
I don't think detrimental as such. I thought it was quite an attacking lineup with, you know, Bolasie and Vlasic and that. I maybe expected a little bit more from Vlasic, but then he hasn't really played meaningfully for a while, as he Bolasie seems to be doing his little tricks and having a little bit of pace. He doesn't seem to have lost much of his pace, does he, since an injury that probably, you know, sap a lot of your pace. So that's obviously a good thing. But no, I thought the lineup was attacking. You know, I thought maybe Rooney would have done a little bit better as well. But then I suppose he's been recovering from an illness. I thought it was actually quite a good lineup myself, at least when we first saw it.
Did you understand why someone like John Joe Kenny dropped out? And you
know, no, I have to say, I did find that a little bit of a puzzle. I can understand Nias starting, because Dominic Calvert-Lewin's played a hell of a lot, and the lad will need a break at some point, and you know, he can't just carry on. I think we've played something like 36 games or something already, which is a ridiculous amount. I mean, that's nearly a full league season already, isn't it? It's only just the halfway point.
Exactly.
So I understand them having to give any number of them a break, certainly the ones that have been playing. But John Joe Kenny, no. I don't understand that, because he didn't sort of hit the ground running as the season kicked off, did he? He sort of came in sort of midway, was it sort of October?
Yeah.
He sort of came in, so he should still have relatively fresh legs. So I did find that a bit puzzling, yeah.
Yeah, I was Yeah, I was kind of like you. I was okay with the starting lineup, and I think to answer my own question, it was kind of validated in the first half, because I think without causing them too many serious issues, we were okay in the first half. In fact, I took a mate of mine to Goodison on New Year's Day. And Scott, who was on the podcast a few weeks back, who did the Chelsea preview with us, obviously he was up celebrating New Year with me, and then I took him with me. And we were speaking at half time, and I was buzzing, and I was saying, I'm quite confident here that we can do something. I thought in the second half, you know, we'd come out and hopefully continue in the same vein as the first half, because I thought in the first half we were okay. But yeah, just on Bolasie, as you mentioned him, mate, I was really desperate for him to kind of kick it and run into the space a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? Because when he did that, there was obviously that where he eventually put a cross, and I think he beat his man twice and then put the ball in the first half. When he did that, the United lads looked quite shaky. And I wanted him to do more of that. And there were times when I felt like he was a little bit kind of conservative in his play. And I kind of wanted him. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought he was, that may be sort of him being back to normal quicker than ever, really, I suppose, because that, it's not that he didn't have any final product, but previously when he was fit, whether he played for us or Palace or whatever, he did the most fantastic tricks and had the most fantastic pace. And then when he got a shot on target, it ended up in the car park at the back. You know, so maybe it's just a spectacular return to his normal form.
Well, I don't know so much, Grouch, because I kind of, what I mean by that is like, sometimes he would stop himself and look for a ball like inside or whatever, you know, look for Rooney. And I just wanted him to just pick it up and run at them a little bit more, because he does frighten teams, because I don't think sometimes he knows what he's going to do.
Historically, he's had a good game against Liverpool, hasn't he? And I don't think, has he actually faced Liverpool for us?
Not for us, no. I don't think he has.
So, well, maybe the last couple of matches might stand us in good stead with him for Friday.
We can hope.
But we can have a look at that one later, I suppose.
Yeah.
The first half, like you say, I thought we were okay. I was relatively, not necessarily, I was confident of getting a 0-0 draw at half time, put it that way.
Man United didn't really threaten us either, did they, in the first half?
No, I thought it was sort of pretty evenly matched. I wouldn't say we had the better of them or anything, but I didn't think we looked like rolling over either. I just think in the second half, maybe they started running through us a bit more. You know, that they sort, I think rather than us change our game, I think they changed their game, and we perhaps didn't know how to adapt to it, which might have been why, you know, McCarthy coming on might have changed it a little bit. You know, he sort
That's
of dealt with
point.
It. Yeah, it's not necessarily that we didn't bother. I think maybe they just sort of found another gear, if you like, and we weren't able to. Or at least weren't able to deal with that.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually, Grouchin. And that's a really, really good observation. And something I said on the forum after was, you know, we do have to consider that our players are not as good as theirs. And that sounds really simplistic and something that, you know, we're in the kind of the era of this hyper-analysis that goes into football. And sometimes, in my opinion, and I know you probably share this with me, the overcomplication of football at times, I think it's a little bit more simple than, you know, than giving credit.
A ton of stuff is spoken about managers and tactics and formations, but it's players that win your games.
Yeah.
You know, if the players are up for it, you might win.
Exactly. And when they click, you know, you saw by the quality of the goals, although that, you know, they were contributed to by Everton, you know, especially that first one when Rooney gave it away. But, you know, the quality of those goals just shows you that the standard of footballer that Manchester United have. And Everton don't have that standard of footballer. Now, were there things that we could have done better? Of course. But I think this needs to be taken into consideration a little bit more. And I think you're right. In the first half, though, just going on to somebody who did really show a lot of quality in the first half, I thought, anyway. Well, two players. Jordan Pickford is a terrific goalkeeper. We can, you know, talk about him all day, and we have done on this podcast. But I thought Tom Davies was really positive in that first half, Grouch.
I think he was a bit better than he had been over previous weeks. I think he's coming for a lot of stick, hasn't he, for being off form.
Yeah,
sometimes
wish we'd stop
it seems as though people aren't allowed to be off form anymore.
Grouch, I wish we'd stop this. Especially with someone like Tom Davies. I mean, he's a young lad for one. He's learning his trade. I mean, I see people writing on Twitter, he's stinking the place out, he's going to be championship at best. It's like, seriously, lads, give the lad a break. I mean, first of all, he's an Evertonian, and we've had our issues with like Evertonians that have come through the ranks in the past, and we've got a lad here that, you know, is combative, he puts himself around, he seems to, you know, okay, he doesn't get everything right and he makes mistakes, but he's one for us to kind of nurture him, and I think people need to be a little bit lost, a little bit less quick to do that, do you know what I mean?
Of course. I mean, I suppose he's played a lot of football since he's come through. You know, rather than being blooded through, in some ways, he's just been thrown in the deep end. You know, what were we talking about the other day, that 4-0 against Man City last season, he's played a hell of a lot of football for such a young lad. I mean,
yeah.
As I say, what game are we on this season? You know, it is a lot. He is a good player. He will be a good player. He's off form. And as I said, it's almost like people aren't allowed to be off form. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, so-and-so's going through his right patch. You know, this striker hasn't scored for a bit and needs to regain his form. Now, if people are in bad form, they're the worst in the world.
Yeah.
And I think something like, you see, 10 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago we did, God, show me age. You know, 15, 20 years ago, Twitter and Facebook weren't around. So if someone had a bad game, people spoke about it and say, oh, so-and-so was bad. Now, people take it's instant gratification, isn't it? They go on Twitter and someone has a mouthful said against them and they think, oh, so-and-so's, he's crap him, or worse, you know. And it's there instantly, but it's out there then. And if a few people do that, it does all add up to make it look like some people have got a downer on a certain player.
Yeah.
So I think maybe people just need to be a little bit hasty in judging people who are having bad form. I mean, he hasn't had the greatest season, let's be fair. But, as you say, he was good the other day, and maybe, hopefully, he'll pick up.
Yeah. What did you make to Vlasic?
I expected a little bit better of him. But, you know, he hasn't played... when did he play last? It's not been for a while, has he?
No.
Can you expect somebody who hasn't played competitive football to just go in and turn it on? Maybe he needs a couple of games. Maybe he needs a little run in the side to show us what he can do.
I found it really strange, Grouch, how he was just kind of just thrown in and we haven't seen him. It's not like he's been involved. He's been, you know, he's been brought on late on or whatever. He just like hasn't... Sometimes he's not even been in the squad and then he's just kind of thrown in.
By the way, you're starting today. Yeah, I wonder if there's been a little bit unfair on him because I don't think he's played any of the under-23 games, has he? I might be wrong on that one.
No.
So, you know, was he match fit? You know, if someone's been out that long without playing but hasn't been injured, have they still been out? You know, how match fit can you keep yourself on the training pitch? I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody's got... Because I wonder if there was more of a consideration about something within the Man United team that Allardyce thought, you know, Vlasic is a lad who can maybe capitalise on that better than some of the other personnel we've got. Not too sure. Or maybe it was just
As he started him yesterday... on the first, to maybe give him some match fitness for Friday. I might be wrong, I don't know.
Could have. It depends. What do you reckon Allardyce's... Do you reckon how high up is the derby on Allardyce's list of priorities?
With it being the FA Cup, it may be a chance of winning something, which I would say he's probably eager to do.
Mm.
He's never won anything absolutely major. As this may very well be his last chance at a major trophy. Well, if it is, I wouldn't mind him doing it here.
No.
What better way to start than doing it at Anfield?
Exactly. And, you know, if and this is very optimistic, but if Allardyce was to win a trophy here, from his perspective, you know, I mean, he's only got to look at the way we talk about Joe Royal, you know, and to kind of, you know, unfortunately, most modern Everton managers don't go on to win trophies. So if he could pull something that off, it'd be terrific. But, you know, that is maybe a little bit optimistic. So someone who did come in for a bit of stick and some of it, you know, was valid was Wayne. Against his old club. First of all, the Man United fans made me chuckle a little bit with their, you know, the fact how they were singing, you know, I think they were giving him a bit of stick and then they were singing his praises and then they were going back to give him a bit of stick. And
It made me laugh with the you fat scouser or something, wasn't it?
But it was, yeah, I thought,
he's the height.
bastard, or was it you fat bastard? I couldn't quite work it out.
Oh, okay, right, okay. Which makes me laugh because he's the highest ever goal scorer. Yeah. It's like us, you know, with Dixie Dean coming from Birkenhead. Right. It's like us shouting wool after Dixie Dean, as if, you know, it's akin to that, isn't it? As if that would happen. You know,
it is. I mean, it was done in jest, obviously.
Yeah.
I think they used to sing it to him for a laugh anyway. That was it. Do you remember when I was doing the HITC stuff and I went to Old Trafford before the match? And that was one of the questions, wasn't it, that I asked to my United fans?
Oh, the fellow, where does Wayne? Yeah, and you had to tell him he wasn't actually from Manchester.
Exactly. Yeah, that one. But it was a longer video, and I was like, I got all of some Manx who I'd say, you know, how good is Wayne Rooney? And they waxed lyrical about him. Does he deserve a statue? Yeah, he deserves a statue. Okay, what? How do you feel about having a Scouser, you know, a statue of a Scouser outside? And then it was like, it's weird.
He's a Scouser, what?
Well, incidentally, mate, if you can go back and if someone wants to go back and dig that video out, it's on HITC's YouTube channel. It's typing like HITC Man United or whatever, and it'll come up. And there was one guy who, I don't think he was a Manx, but he sounded like he was from that area. Maybe he was from, you know, like Altrincham or something like that. Anyway, he was like, he said, he's not a Scouser. And I said, no, Wayne Rooney's a Scouser, you know, he's born in, what is he, Croxteth or wherever he's born from. Yeah, and I was like, no, he's definitely a Scouser. No, he's not a Scouser. It doesn't count. I said, do you know what the definition of a Scouser actually is, mate? And he said, no, it's different, isn't it? It's Everton. I was like, he's still a Scouser, though, mate. You'd be surprised, you know. You might not, you probably don't know this, Scrouch, but how... you know, like I'll speak to fans and they'll say derogatory terms about Liverpool, the football club, and I'll say, well, hold on, like, I'm not going to accept that because I'm an Evertonian, because they'll talk about the city and they'll go, it's different. And I'm like, it's actually not, like, you know, this is a misconception.
I think that, and the entire irony is that there's probably no Scousers in Anfield. You shouting Scousers at the entire wrong ground there, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the irony of it. Incidentally, mate, that's another thing. I know this is maybe a little bit hypocritical. It might sound a bit hypocritical coming from me being an out of towner, but when I did go and do some filming at Anfield when I was doing the HITC stuff, I actually did. This is not a dig at them, but I did struggle to find a Scouser, and I'm not even winding anybody up. No, whenever I say this, people think I'm having a dig, but I'm not. I appreciate I'm a non-Scouser supporting Evertonian, so, you know, I know they're at both clubs, but it was actually hard. And when I did find one, I did say, Jesus, mate, like, can we speak to you? Because I haven't got, everyone I've been speaking to camera has been, you know, I haven't managed to find a local yet, so it'd be nice to get, you know, a local on camera. So that is actually like a genuine stereotype about Liverpool fans now that there are unfortunately few and far between. But anyway, we digress.
It makes me laugh just on that subject. One of the things we've got for the derby, I think we've got the entire Anfield Road end, haven't we? And they've banned any sort of banners being thrown over the sort of balcony, you know, to hang and display, because I think they got wind of some Evertonians taking a banner that just said Scousers this end.
Yeah.
So that made me laugh.
That's it. I think you're right there. I think that's probably why they've done it. But I'm staying with the Scouse theme. So
with Rooney, you did ask me about Rooney, didn't you?
No, I went off on a tangent as well. But
I thought his passing was poor. Could have been better. He is coming back from the virus. If he's had genuine flu, whether he has or he's just had a cold, I don't know. It can take a while to come back from, you know, especially if something settles on your chest. However, if he's been well enough to play at half football, you know, he must have been reasonably recovered. I think at some point he was passing to Matten every 5 minutes, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But then, again, like Davies, people are allowed to have a bad game. You know, might have just been one of them. Is he recovering still? Perhaps. On the other hand, he may have just had a bad game, who knows?
Yeah, he has to start, though, regardless of what happened on New Year's Day at Anfield for me.
I think so, yeah.
Saw Carragher did an interview with Everton today, and they asked him who his danger man was, and, you know, he said it's Wayne Rooney still all day. He didn't have a good game, but again, you know, he's only human, and you know, you do have to let these lads off. Someone else who I thought he made an impact off the ball again, as he always does, but on the ball, you know, same old story with Umar Niasse. You know, we know that he doesn't have a lot of quality. But that chance during that really good spell that Everton had, if he'd have put that one away, for me, I think we'd have put
a draw,
maybe. You know, I still expect Man United to score, but I think we probably would have got a draw. What do you reckon?
I think with Niasse, I think he's, it could have been a different game, or could have been a different result anyway. He's, no one can fault his attitude on the football field and what's gone on with him, obviously. You know, he came on and he won us the points earlier in the season, didn't he, against, I think he basically single-handedly won us a point at Crystal Palace. And what was, I think Koeman was still here, was it Bournemouth at Goodison we played, he came on and scored a couple. But let's be honest with you, he is not the best footballer in the world. And it sort of maybe this Dennis Strachwalesi mould, we need better. I'm not knocking the lad. He's tried, he's got his head down, and he's done well, considering. But we need someone better. I'm not insulting the lad, but we just do. You know, we can't carry on with just him and Calvert-Lewin.
No. No, it was a good chance as well, you know. If he'd have attacked it a bit better and maybe
would another striker have scored it? You know, would a better striker have scored it? Probably.
I mean, there probably would have been other lads on the pitch that you'd have preferred it to fall to.
Exactly.
You know, and I don't think we have a lot of very good headers of the ball, to be honest, especially in attacking positions.
No.
I mean, sometimes
I think we're just a bit too sentimental with some players, and I think he's become one of them. Yeah, he tries. Yeah, we like a tryer, but we also like a bit of skill. And we need to remove the, you know, sort of jobs for the boys is wrong. That's not what I mean. You know, maybe we're sort of Tony Ibbett got a contract extension because even though he was injured, maybe we need to start looking at not doing that and getting, you know, proper players who are fit and able to play football and score.
Do you reckon Strachwalesi was a better footballer than Umar Niasse? I'm going to say he was.
Slightly. I don't think Umar Niasse is very good.
No.
Not really.
What do you reckon his level is, Grouch?
I would say Championship.
What do you reckon?
I would say Championship, but I think Premiership perhaps is one step too far for him. He is an international player, but is it Senegal he plays for?
I'm not sure.
Is it Senegal, off the top of my head.
Well, he's very good friends with Ghana, isn't he? And Ghana's Senegal, isn't he? Yeah.
Is that necessarily the highest level of international football? I just don't think he's very good. I'm not knocking the lad personally. I just don't think he's a very good player.
Yeah, although I caught a little bit of Brighton v Huddersfield, was it? It's some New Year's Day. As I said, my mate Scott had his hooked the laptop up and we watched that. We were just lying on the sofa, you know, just thinking if we could be bothered to move to get the train up to Liverpool and meet the old fella. But we were watching that and I actually said, you know, I said, we talk about Championship level football, but that was a really, really bad game. It's quite depressing. So maybe if Umar was to go to one of those sides, I think he might have been linked with Huddersfield or Brighton. You know, they are two Championship teams in the Premiership, I think.
In a way, yeah.
I think he
was scoring in a whole team, wasn't he? You know, they went down. Now, obviously, he was scoring in the Premiership against other Premiership sides, and he has done for us. But on the whole, we definitely need better. We certainly need better now. I mean, maybe he'd be good as a backup third choice striker, maybe, but certainly not leading the line.
Yeah, I agree. And there was substitutions, so I was a bit annoyed, but I wasn't. I did kind of get a bit animated when that happened. Just because I was like, what? It wasn't the fact that we were bringing James McCarthy on that I had the issue with. It was more the players that were being taken off. I think that we kind of took off. You know, the thing is with Rooney, if he has a bad game, you know that he can pull something out of the bag. And I think that was, I actually do think that was the common theme around the ground. I don't think people were getting on at McCarthy so much. You know, it's more the fact of the players that were leaving the field, to be honest with you. What did you make of the substitutions, Grouch?
Well, I understand people were saying it was negative. Now, was it Davies who went off? And who was the other one that went off? I forgot at the same time.
Well, Yannick Bolasie
went off. And was it Davies?
No, Rooney.
Rooney. That's right. I understand McCarthy, perhaps, I'm saying this, but I wouldn't necessarily say it was a negative thing bringing Aaron Lennon on. He's not a defensive player. But with McCarthy, I think what's happened there is going back to what I was saying before with Man U sort of running right through and having a go. I think he's seen that. And Allardyce has thought, let's get McCarthy on, stop him in the tracks a little bit. Maybe if we're lucky, go forward through Lennon or even through McCarthy himself. Mm. If Wayne Rooney was having, I know what you mean, being able to pull something out the bag with a moment of magic, but was he, you know, maybe he was still not quite fit after being out for a while, so why not get McCarthy on? Who can? One of the things I like about James McCarthy is those tackles that he does. I just like it. Yeah. You know, the bone crunching ones, that sort of thing. I know we need that. You can't just rely on that alone, but it's nice to see someone's got that for us. He turned out to be just what we needed. I know we didn't get anything, he went very good, but he was sort of a highlight of the second half, I thought.
He inspired that good spell that we had. He came on, he started crunching people. I think he's a very good footballer.
When he came on.
I think he's a really good footballer. I genuinely don't have any issues with James McCarthy, bar the fact that he's just injured too much. And as Jim Hogan said on the podcast, the 2017 review podcast that we were talking about, we're talking about how if you're Everton, you can't afford to carry players.
No.
That are injured.
It's the same
with
Darren Gibson, wasn't it? Where was the point in having him round?
Exactly. Yeah. Darren Gibson, again, as we said on that podcast, I think McCarthy's a better footballer, obviously, but Darren Gibson wasn't a bad footballer. He was just injured all the time. And who was the example that we gave? Do you remember on the podcast? We gave an example of a really good player who's injured a lot at the moment, I can't remember.
I'll be honest, I've forgotten off the top of my head.
Yeah, but anyway, the point being is that if they are a really good footballer, then you can afford to do it. But, you know, a really uber good footballer, and you've also got a lot of other quality. And when that player comes back, it was Kompany. It was Kompany at City.
That's right. Yes.
You know, Kompany at City can be out for three quarters of the season, and you still want him for that quarter of the season. You can afford to do that if you're Manchester City. You've got the likes of Stones and Otamendi, who've both come on in leaps and bounds, actually, at Manchester City this season. Mm-hmm. The point I'm saying is that, like, you know, you can afford to do that. You can't really when you're Everton with players that are just very good players, not world class. So all in all, pretty very cold, very cold. Grouch, I was so cold, and I.
That was before the wind kicked in. It was very windy last night and today here as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was here. I woke up this morning and I looked out the window and like the tree was just like almost touching the ground, and I was like, shit, it's like the world's ending. I didn't know if Trump.
And it's all right.
I didn't know if Trump pressed the button.
It was just Donald Trump tweeting about his bigger
button. Yeah. What a time to be alive!
Oh, I know.
It's incredible. What a lovely touch from the club. Just before we talk about the derby, was the Everton Remembers thing. I love that. You know.
Mm, absolutely, it's great. It's just a nice touch that we do. You know, in the days when sort of fans are seen as customers. The one thing that the club always gets right is the community stuff and making fans feel like a part of it. Regardless of what you think that they are on the pitch or the manager or the transfer negotiation team, if indeed they exist, you know, it's stuff like that does really, really make us look good. And it does appear to be genuine. You know, that Everton remembers. It would be nice if the club remembered we're Everton, but, you know, I don't think there's any better than the community with things like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's something that I've done stuff on before, and I think it's fantastic. And incidentally, I lost a really good mate of mine, big Evertonian, a few years back, and it was the first year they did it, and we sent his his name in. I got it sorted, and sent it to the club, and it came up on the board that day. It was the day we played. I think it was the first year we did it. I know it's the day we played Stoke and lost 4-3 that day, so it ended up being a little bit disappointing, but that was a fantastic gesture. And I remember I took a little picture of it and sent it to his family, and they loved it. And I just thought, whilst it was happening, I thought, you know, this will be giving quite a lot of people just a little bit of comfort. And I think it's a really lovely thing to do, and it does symbolise our club. And again, you know, I think you only notice this when you take people who don't support Everton to Goodison from other parts of the country. As I said, I took my mate Scott. It's the third time now he's been to Goodison, and every time he goes, he says, they don't do this at Chelsea, They don't do this at Chelsea. This is brilliant. Mm-hmm. They don't do this. It's just, you know, he does, he genuinely, you know, he's like, it's just, I just love the place, you know. And you know, it's so nice to hear, because look, it has its downfalls, and I've been speaking to a mate of mine about the atmosphere today, and I really do think that we need to potentially try and use this platform, Grouch, to see if we can link up with other big influencers within the Everton community, shall we say.
If you saw the tweet I retweeted, I can't remember who it came from, and you'll have been in the Gladys Street where they were saying as well, there was a woman in the Gladys Street that when we had that second spell, people started to get animated and stand up, and she was telling everyone to sit down. Well, I can't believe that.
Well, incidentally, it's funny how you say that, Grouch, because I kept on hearing somebody, what I gathered to be sarcastically shouting, stop swearing, right, every time someone swore. And it was like everyone was giggling. And I was like, why is he doing that? Is he doing that obviously to take the mick out of someone else? Which I assumed the way he was doing it, he got, hey, stop swearing. You know what I mean? Like, it's in a funny way. And I thought, so that actually makes sense. And it wouldn't surprise me. We won't get into this now because we'll talk for hours on it. We are going to do a podcast. And I'm going to say this now on record that, you know, I'm going to make it a bit of a mission to try and use the platform that we've kind of developed here, and obviously the Grand Old Team, where we can, and link up with other, you know, guys who do podcasts and write and stuff about this, because something needs to be done at Goodison now. I mean, I go to the match, and obviously it's always the highlight of my week. I love it. It's Goodison. It's amazing. And whatever happens on the pitch, it's time with my old fella. It's brilliant. But it's really tedious sometimes, and I've got people around me who will just sit and moan and talk and mock people for showing a bit of passion, and it's not on. And I think something
that's not on at all. That's disgraceful.
I know, and I think something does need to be done. But anyway, we will do a separate podcast on this. Derby then, Grouch. The worst game on planet Earth in the entire universe is Friday. Are you ready for it again?
Yes.
What?
And I'll tell you why. Yes, it'll be hard. But only a couple of weeks ago, we got some semblance of a result. And yet we might have only had two shots on target, but they only had three. If rumours are to be believed, Philip Coutinho has refused to play for them again while his transfer is going. I'm sure I read another one of their players is out. Was it Salah? Was it Satmane? I can't remember which one. I think one of the other players is out. I might be wrong, but that's just things I've read generally today. So I'm not saying that they're going to be a massively weakened team. But maybe, you never know. Maybe we stand a chance. Cup football and Derby. You know, that's the FA Cup, and form goes out the window with Derby at the best of times. You never know. We might just pull it off. Law of averages says we've got to win there sometime. Yeah, I'm clutching at straws here now. But, you know, come on. Roll the dice, someone.
We've got to. And as you say, Yannick Bolasie does really well there.
This is his first game against Liverpool for us, so yeah.
Yeah, Wayne will be up for it. They're missing a few lads. You know, they are quite focused on the league at the moment.
Yeah. So now I've been so positive with all that, and you've been positive as well, we're going to get hammered.
Yes, we most definitely probably will. I'm desperate for a ticket, by the way. I'm in Birmingham doing some presenting work for a training video for Carphone Warehouse, which is cool, on Friday. And then I'm like hoping to get up to Liverpool and trying to get a ticket. So if you're listening to this and you somehow happen to stumble upon a spare for the away end, give me a shout. I know it's unlikely, but I will most definitely ensure.
Is it on telly?
Yes.
It is on BBC.
I believe so.
I think so. Yeah, I was just wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably gonna have to watch it with the old man around ours, but you know, we'll see what happens there. But anyway, yeah.
But we've got a little bag of fans. We've got a decent, you know, if have they actually given us the entire Anfield Road end? Am I making that up, or did someone be telling me fibs?
No, have we got like that's what
we have. Well, you see, the thing is, that will almost be like. The 1995 semi-final against Tottenham, that was at Elland Road, and the club got the choice of either the massive stand or the three smaller stands surrounded. So, okay, I know we're not exactly going to have all three, you know, surrounded stands. It's not a neutral ground, but having some more of our fans there on an away game, you never know. It stood us in good stead that day. It was almost like a home game. which isn't going to be like on Friday, obviously. But you never know. Sometimes fans can make the difference.
And if you are going, you know, you've got to try and create an atmosphere. And
do your job,
not be dependent so much on the players. I think it's going to be a bit of give and take. You know, of course, we'll hope that, you know, they give us something to cheer. But I think from the word go, you know, you've got to try and get behind them and then make sure, because the entire country's watching as well, so you know, and it's a derby, so let's put a count of ourselves in the terraces too. Look, and I said that like a football hooligan, a good account of ourselves in the terraces, mate. Not obviously, don't fight anybody. That's
we'll have you in Stanley Park, our park afterwards. Yeah.
Obviously they are our brothers. A weird brother though, like one of the brothers that you never really speak to. You don't like, but you just have to deal with because they live in the same house as you. That kind of thing, isn't it, Grouch?
That's exactly it. But we've moved out since.
Yes, yeah, of course. Yeah, they live in our old house.
Yeah,
and they've put like a massive one of the new roofs on it. You know what I mean? That's the main stand now that we can see from
They've overextended.
Yeah, and we're saying to the missus now, like, we have got to move because I can see them again now, and this isn't on.
We want a driveway and an indoor pool.
yeah. We could keep going with this, couldn't we? But we won't. Oh. Anyway, as always, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Keep an eye out, by the way, because I did an interview with a Turkish football expert on Cenk Tosun. See, I've learned how to say his name properly.
Very good.
With a Turkish accent. But I reassured Khan, who the guy I spoke to was, who's a massive Besiktas fan, and said fantastic things about Cenk. He said, you know, that's how you say it, and you've got to say that. And I said, it doesn't really make sense when you say it with my dull kind of Midland / weird northern type accent. If I just, like, I'm talking normally, and then I say Cenk Tosun, like that doesn't make any sense. It probably would sound even sillier if you said it, Grouch. You know, you're talking full Scouse, and then you're like, Cenk Tosun with a Turkish accent.
I was saying it like I was describing the Titanic, sank too soon. I thought his name was, but that was it. So Cenk Tosun.
I like
that his name.
Yeah, Cenk Tosun. Anyway, so look out for that. And as always, get onto YouTube, by the way. We've uploaded some videos, some fan reaction videos on there after the Man United game, which is a new thing that I'm doing, just from a mobile phone. Really basic stuff, but we got some good feedback and people kind of like that. So that's cool. All right, and as always, thank you so much for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, share, review us as well. If you like listening to us, whatever platform that you listen to us on, review us, let us know how we're getting on. It's always nice to get some feedback. You know, if you've got some constructive feedback, that's fine too. So yeah, anything we can take on board and try and make this podcast better is always welcome. As always, that was Groucho. Thanks, Groucho, once again. And get over to grandoldteam.com and sign up to the forum too if you get a chance, if you haven't already. Yeah, all the best, and we'll speak to you again soon.
History, it's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.